Appreciated being here last year. I think it's a privilege when you get back the second time, not the first time. And so it's nice to be back with you and to share something about what has been happening within the mission since I was here last May, a year ago, and the new developments, new projects, new areas that God has opened up for us as we continue to serve Him in this day of opportunity. Of course, the Word of God exhorts us and reminds us that we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is known as the Great Commission. And so we seek to reach out in this day of opportunity, and that takes us to countries of Central and Eastern Europe. And then in the year 2000, we moved into Central Asia. And then since I was here last year, we have moved into Russia and serving God and reaching out into Far East Russia with the gospel in this day of opportunity. As a mission, you may recall from last year that we don't send people to the countries of Eastern Europe or Central Asia from the UK and Ireland, but we seek to help the believers in the country to fulfill the Great Commission and to reach their nation with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're very much investing in the believers and the church that is already existing in the different countries. We serve God through our four core ministries, and you'll find these on our project leaflets all the time. There is the Biblical Leadership Training, which is our Bible school ministry, followed by the Leadership Support, and then the Christian Literature and the Crisis Response. This afternoon, I'm going to touch on all four of these ministries and sharing a project with you as we continue to go forward in the name of the Lord. The Biblical Leadership Training, or the Bible School Ministry, it takes us into many different countries. You can see here in the map, to the left, you see quite a lot of dots here. And this is where our teaching centers are in Central and Eastern Europe. Then if you go right over to the far right of the map, you'll see another dot, and that is in Almaty, a city in the big country of Kazakhstan. And we're teaching in Almaty Bible Institute. So it's a joy to have hundreds of students currently in our schools being trained and equipped to be the next generation of pastors and missionaries and evangelists in their own country. But you know, as we're involved very much in the biblical leadership training and in the mission school work, this is where our second core ministry is very important as well. And that is the biblical leadership training, the leadership support. But there's one of the countries here that you'll see on the map, the little country of Moldova. And SGA have been involved in working in this country now for 25 years. And it's been wonderful what God has been doing as we've been involved in the ministry in this little landlocked republic with the huge country of Ukraine to the east and Romania to the west. And tucked in a sandwich there is the Republic of Moldova. Population about 3 million. 94% will consider themselves to be Orthodox in this little country. But SGA have been serving here now for 25 years, and we're having a special celebration in November to mark the occasion and give thanks to God for His faithfulness. And the celebration will be up in Belz, where the school is located in the northern part of the country. So we thank God for the group of students that are currently in training. This is the 13th group of students. So 12 groups have already graduated. Hundreds of them are out serving the Lord. This is very thrilling. Churches are being planted, and God is blessing these pastors and evangelists and missionaries as they're reaching out in their own country. But of course, when we see them graduate from our Bible school and they move out into church planting settings, they need support. And this is where our second core ministry is very important, the leadership support. There are really three areas under leadership support that we help. There's the financial support, which is the money that we give to sustain the families, the missionary families. But then there is prayer houses, or we would call them church buildings, where we help to fund little simple church buildings in the villages where churches are planted. And then there is the transport. And since I was with you last year, we relaunched this project called Gospel on the Move. And this was to provide transport for the missionary pastors in Moldova. And God has been wonderfully providing. And on this, our 25th anniversary, this year, we've been providing 25 motorbikes for 25 missionary pastors. And this has been a great blessing because not only do these men need the financial support as they go forward with the gospel, but they need wheels. And so with these motorbikes, the gospel is on the move. And these men, rather than walking today, Sunday, 10 miles to their church to preach, and then go to their second church and walk another 5 or 10 miles, they can now go on their motorbikes and also involved in evangelism into villages where there's no evangelical church. And we're thrilled that God has provided for us, and these men are on the move. The gospel is on the move as they're using their motorbikes and reaching out this very day with the gospel across the Republic of Moldova. And so we're thankful to God for our biblical leadership training, for our leadership support, where we're continuing to support these missionaries as they serve the Lord. Our third core ministry is Christian literature. And again, we have launched a huge project, the biggest project that SGA UK have ever been involved in when it comes to literature. And that is to provide the Word of God for the Kazakh people. And with Bible Mission in Germany and Slavic Gospel Association in the UK, we have joined together in seeking to reach 1 million Kazakh people with the Word of God. Now, when you go to the country of Kazakhstan, which is out of Europe, and we're now in Central Asia, and this large country of Kazakhstan, there are 11 million Muslim Kazakh people. Now, there's a great need for them to have the Bible in their own language, because there has been a difficulty, and this has been the problem. Because there is only the Russian translation of the Bible that they know of, they consider God to be a Russian God. So God cannot be a God of the Kazakh people because the Bible is not in the Kazakh language. And it's very important that these Muslim people have the Word of God in their language and that their hearts will be touched through the Word of God. You know, friends, there's something wonderful today, and that is God has promised His Word will not return to Him empty. God has promised to bless His Word. And we can't give people in the world anything better than the Word of God. God will work through His Word into the hearts of the Kazakh people. And we're praying that many families, the Kazakh families, will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think of the Kazakh families and we're seeking to print 100,000 Bibles to reach 1 million people, the Kazakh family is an extended family. You have the grandparents, the parents, and the children all living together. So you will have 10 to 12 in a Kazakh family. By giving one Bible per family, with God's help, we should be able to reach 1 million Kazakh people. Not only are we going to give them, and I'm so thrilled to be able to hold the Kazakh Bible in my hand this afternoon. I was in Kazakhstan a few weeks ago, and the dear friends presented me with the Word of God in the Kazakh language. Isn't this thrilling? This is not the finished product yet. It still needs to be checked again, proofread, theologically checked. And then it will be printed and distributed to the Kazakh people. With the Lord's help, we're trusting the first Bibles will be available early in next year. And this will be tremendous. Not only are we going to give them the Word of God, as you see it in the adult version, but also a children's Bible. Let me tell you why. Central Asian people are really fascinated with the narrative, with the story. And remember, these are Muslim people. And so we will give them a children's Bible as well as an adult Bible. And so they will, first of all, there is no doubt, they'll read the story, Bible story, but with the Bible story, there is a Bible reference that will bring them then into the Word of God and to read God's Word for themselves. And so we thank God for what has been happening since I was here and how the team are working diligently in a little room, room number 10 in a building. Number 10 is a very important place to be, isn't it? We live in number 10. You didn't think that. The Prime Minister lives in number 10. But here's a room, number 10, where something wonderful is happening. And this is where the linguists, the translators, the proofreaders, the theologians all are working together to produce the Kazakh Bible for these people. And you know, dear friends, this is a dream come true. This was something beyond our comprehension, but God is in it, and God has provided, and the Bibles will soon be printed, and the Kazakh Muslims will be reading the Word of God. Let's really pray for this, that the nation of Kazakhstan will be really touched through the Word of God, and many people will come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moving on then to our fourth ministry, and that is our crisis response. When we think of the crisis response, we are helping widows, children, refugees, people who are finding themselves in great need. You could call this our humanitarian part of our ministry. But you know, dear friends, while we seek to give bread to the hungry and meet the needs of those in very vulnerable situations, the gospel is at the heart of it all. Because, you know, isn't it true? It's the gospel that men need. It's the gospel that people need most. But through this, we're reaching out and seeking to minister to people in great need. The war in Ukraine is considered today as Europe's forgotten war. But the war continues. I was back in Ukraine. I was there twice since I was here. I was there last September, and I was back there in June and was on the front line of the war zone. This is the occupied territory. I was on the front line. When I was there September last year, or about this time last year, I said to the friends that brought me, I said, I never want to come back here again. Because all that I met was broken hearts, weeping people, devastation. The marks of war were everywhere. But you know, I added then to that and I said, the only reason why I will come back is to see what God is doing. When I was there a year ago, I met a dear man, Pastor Vasily. And Pastor Vasily heads up the humanitarian, coordinates the aid program in the Donetsk region. The UN have said recently that 3.4 million people need food in Ukraine. A year ago, Vasily brought me out to a building out in the middle of a field. There were no windows, no doors. It was just a rack of a place, an old building. And he said, I've got a plan with God's help. I want to open a bakery and feed the hungry people. SGA, we were in a position to send out the funds to have the building completed. When I went back there in June, I saw a totally different building. I saw a bakery in operation, a bakery that's operating 24 hours a day, employing 14 people and producing between 12 and 1,400 loaves of bread every day. With the van that was purchased from money from SGA, this delivery van takes the bread from the bakery and brings it to the hungry people on the front line of the war zone, seeking to minister to them and help them through the very great difficulties that they're facing. Dear friends, this is practical Christianity. This is reaching out into a war zone situation where people are seeing the love of Christ, and through Pastor Vasily, God is using him in a very powerful way. And God is blessing this ministry. Not only are people getting bread for their bodies, but dear friends, beyond that today, people are receiving the bread of life, Jesus Christ. At a meeting that was held on the Thursday evening for missionary pastors from the war zone area and from the war zone, gray zone area, they began to share of what God's doing. Pastor Vasily, he stood up before us that evening and he said, our goal is to offer people salvation. This is the great need. What a thrill to hear of what God is doing. Pastor Vasily had two daughter churches
Today, he has six daughter churches. He pastors a church of 160 members. He has six daughter churches because God is working. I listened to Pastor Michael from Marinka, which is a small town right on the front line of the war zone. He said, since this war began, that was 4 years ago, I have baptized 267 new members in my little church. He said, we cannot get into the church anymore. So many people want to hear the gospel. In Ukraine, the denomination that we work with, they need 250 pastors, new pastors, every year to fill the pulpits of the new church plants and also to fill the pulpits of pastors that are retiring. That is 250 new pastors every year. They're not reaching that target, but that's what they need. God is working across this nation. And it's a joy to be part of it and to help in whatever way we possibly can. And as we did last winter, God willing, this winter, we're going to do the same. Providing money for electric heaters that people can have heat in a room, thermal clothing for the children, and food parcels for the hungry. I met many people who received help last winter. People who wept as they shared their appreciation. One afternoon we went and we met Luda, and she has three young boys. This is Maxim. Psychologically, he's been seriously affected because of the war. His father went out to help somebody who was injured. Another shell came and he was killed. Luda's a young widow, three young boys. And she's living with her three young boys in one room where they sleep, eat, everything. Just one small room. That's all she has. Last winter, she got a heater. She got thermal clothing for her boys. And that lady, she wept as she thanked us a million times, she said, for what she received. And through this, God is reaching into the hearts of many, many people. And this is a day of opportunity, and God is blessing at this time. I mentioned to you since I was with you last, we have launched into a new part of the world for us, into the country of Russia. You know, to fly from here to Moscow, you cross two time zones. To cross from West Russia to East Russia, you cross 11 time zones. This is a vast nation. We are focusing on far East Russia, right out on the Japanese Sea, away beyond Siberia, this is. This part of the Russia is a long way from President Vladimir Putin's seat of power in Moscow in Red Square. This is a huge distance. But the five SG offices, America, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand, have come together to launch Reach Russia Now. We're seeking to reach this part of the world where there are thousands of villages and towns with no church whatsoever. Even the Orthodox Church scarcely exists in this part of Russia. Many communities, and there's no infrastructure to get to them, they're totally isolated. How do we reach them with the gospel? Well, with aeroplanes, missionary planes. And so SGA are partnering with Kingdom Air Corps in Alaska, and they are providing the missionary planes. When I was there, I saw this plane. I wasn't flying in it, but it was in the hangar. And thank God the planes are coming from Kingdom Air Corps in Alaska. But when they come across from Alaska, they have to be dismantled and shipped over to Russia and then rebuilt, registered. It's a long process. But God is working. And there are now three pilots. Here are two of them that have been trained. You've got Ivan here, and here's Rico, and they've got missionary planes each, and they're now flying these planes and reaching. You know, the Bible speaks of going to the uttermost parts of the earth. When you go to this part of Russia, you really can't go much further. You'll start to come back home again. And here's a part of the world that is being reached today with the gospel. It's a huge size. Look at these nine regions. Those nine regions of Far East Russia are about the same size as the United States of America. You take one of those regions, Yakutia, here, this region here, is the size of India, and it has got 22 small churches. We're focusing on two regions, on Yakutia and Khabarovsk, right over here. And that's our focus at the moment, to train missionaries and equip them. Then they will fly in the missionary planes out to these other regions with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are supporting missionaries already. Here is Avil. Avil came from outside Moscow and is now a missionary in Far East Russia. That would be like us sending missionaries from Scotland or Ireland to South America, to Africa, for a missionary to come from, man to come from one end of Russia to the other as far as distance is concerned. What a joy to meet him. His congregation has tripled. Now, there's not hundreds coming, but there's now 12 coming. There was four when they went there just a couple of years ago. God has saved 8 people, and now they're in the church. Isn't that wonderful? And they've started a Sunday school. And they had their first camp there in the summer, and they had over 40 children attending the camp. And Avil is traveling out to 4 small towns, villages on the Chinese border, and he's praying and evangelizing and longing to plant churches there. When I met up with Avil and his wife, he took me for a ride in his old Lada car. Now, they drove across Russia 9,000 kilometers in this old car. When he took me for a drive in it and brought me out round the district and back again, well, to be quite honest, I was glad to get back. But I'm pleased to tell you that the mission was able to send money out so that Avil can buy a good second-hand car for his ministry. Because Avil and his wife travel 100 kilometers on a stone road every Saturday to encourage a lady away in another town. And they're having Bible studies with her because it's so important to encourage her. They want her to be an evangelist because through her, they're hoping a church will be planted in the town that she lives in. And God is raising up these people to serve him. And we're thrilled today. Already, Far East Russia has been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we want you to pray for us in these new initiatives as we go forward in the name of the Lord. Please take this leaflet with you to the ends of the earth. This is the ministry in Far East Russia. Please pray for this initiative. Please pray for Vasily in East Ukraine. Pray that God will give this man strength to keep going. I just don't know how he does all that he's doing. And this is a project leaflet in providing heaters and food this winter in that part of the world. Please remember the Kazakh Bible, and you can pick up a project leaflet on that. Pray that God will keep the minds of the translators clear and help them in this big task of providing the Word of God. And please pray for the gospel on the move and these men on their motorbikes, and it's thrilling to see how God is using them in this day of opportunity. Our Breakthrough magazine is available. Please take a copy with you, and you can read more about the work and what God is doing. And there is quite a lot of information on the ministry in Russia and this new initiative in the Breakthrough. And take it with you. And if you'd like to receive it, of course, we'd be glad to send it to you. But we rejoice in all that God is doing. The fields are white to harvest. The laborers are few. But God is raising up people in this day of opportunity. Please pray for us and remember us as we go forward in these days of opportunity. I brought just a couple of items with me. They're not free. All the literature is free. Take as much as you want and share it with others. I'd be delighted if you did that. But just to mention, here is a book, 5 Testimonies from Central Asia. I met 4 of the 5 when I was there because I traveled in Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan, and I had the joy of meeting 4 of the people whose testimonies is in this book, some from Muslim background, And it's very, very interesting, wonderful how God has reached them out of the depths. I do recommend this book to you. If you haven't come prepared, that's all right. Take the book, ring up the office and pay by credit card or some other way. That'll be fine. But you'll be blessed as you read. I think it's always so encouraging to hear a testimony or to read a testimony and how God has saved individuals. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. That book is £4. And then there are a couple of books for children, but a little boy in Romania who really wanted a banana, or a little boy in Moldova who really loved chocolate and got his first chocolate. And these books are £2 each for primary school kids. They're available. And then Christmas is coming. There are some Christmas cards, and the profits from the cards go to our Christian medical ministry that we support in Ukraine and in Moldova. So please take the free literature with you. You're very welcome to take as much as you want, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you as you read more about what God is doing in these days. I want to read some verses this afternoon from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, turning to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll commence to read at verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his inspired word. George was a man who was very active during the days of communism in Romania. Indeed, he received special training so that he would persecute the believers, he'd interrogate them and imprison them, because he really hated the Church of Jesus Christ. When the communism fell in Romania in 1989, George moved to the city of Oradea. And one Sunday night, he came to Emmanuel Church. It's a very, very large church. Several thousand people would attend. George sat in the balcony at the very back as he listened to the Word of God. And during the final song, he left and went home. Next Sunday, he was back, left during the final song. Third Sunday, he was back in the church. And again, he left during the final song and went back to his apartment. But that night when George went into his apartment, he fell on his face before God. He repented of his sin and put his trust in Jesus Christ. He came back to the church that night. The congregation were gone, but the pastors were still there. And George approached the pastors and told them of what had happened. He told them about the life he had lived, how he had persecuted the church. And then he said, "Tonight, I've repented of my sin, and I believe that God has forgiven me for all of my past. Pastors, will you forgive me?" The night arrived when George shared his testimony in that huge auditorium. As George was sharing of how God met with him and changed his life, there was scarcely a dry eye in the auditorium that Sunday evening. And then spontaneously the congregation stood to their feet and they began to sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning from thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be." George was welcomed into the church. And then he came to the pastors and he said, "I want to do something for God." The pastors said to George, "Why don't you come to the school of the prophets?" Now, the School of the Prophets was the SGA Bible School. We didn't give it that title, but the Romanian brothers called it the School of the Prophets. And George came to the School of the Prophets. He went through the years of training. The Thursday night arrived. It was graduation and commissioning service. And George left the SGA Bible School. He went out into the country of Romania to be a church planter and evangelist and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I think of George, I think of Saul, who became Paul the Apostle. The Bible tells us that Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church. He persecuted the church. He imprisoned the believers. But God met with Saul on the road to Damascus, and he became Paul the Apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the writer, the theologian, the apologist. And it was that very man, Saul, who became Paul, who wrote these words to the church at Corinth: if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. You know, friends, today it's a wonderful miracle, isn't it, when God saves us. And it is a miracle because it's something that I cannot explain. If I could explain it this afternoon, it would no longer be a miracle. But my friends, because we cannot really explain it, it's a miracle from God. Being born again of the Spirit of God. Being a new creation in Christ. Where the old is gone, the new has come. We have new principles, new desires, new loves. Our lives have been changed by God's power. And you see, friends, there is the miracle. We become a new creation. It's wonderful when we meet with the Lord and God changes our lives. Not only do we have the miracle, thank God for the miracle. And friends, if we have experienced the miracle, then my second point comes, and that is the mandate. Paul here, writing to the church of Corinth in verse 20, he said, "You are ambassadors for Christ." He explained to them that they were here in Christ's stead or in Christ's place. And we have been given the mandate that has been procured or delivered to us. We are ambassadors. We are representatives for heaven. Ian Bounds, speaking of an ambassador, and I borrowed a couple of thoughts from E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds, he said, an ambassador must be a citizen of the nation that he or she represents. You know, all of God's ambassadors were once citizens of Satan's kingdom, living outside the kingdom of God, but Jesus Christ sets sinners free, and we get a new citizenship. We read that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That our citizenship is in heaven. You see, an ambassador is representing his country. And today, dear friends, we're representing heaven here on earth. You see, we don't belong here anymore. We belong to heaven. And because we belong to heaven, we are ambassadors for heaven here on earth. Friends, that is something wonderful, isn't it? We don't belong here. We're just passing through. Isn't that true? Isn't that why that the things of this world are very loose to us? Because we don't belong here. We belong to a wonderful place called heaven. But we are here on earth as ambassadors. Ian Bounds, he said something else about the ambassador. He said that the ambassador has all their needs provided. You know, I understand, I'm told that an embassy is furnished, and how it's furnished, it bears witness to the glory and the strength of the nation that has commissioned the ambassadors. Thank God tonight, today, our needs are met. Not our wants, but our needs. The Lord reminds us in Philippians 4:19, "But my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." Didn't the psalmist say that the righteous were never forsaken, nor their seed begging bread? You know, God provides for His ambassadors. Our needs will be provided. Something else Ian Bounds said about the ambassador, and that is that ambassador keeps in touch with headquarters. It's very important that he knows what his ruler is thinking and how his nation wants him to act concerning important matters of state. Each nation has a general policy that expresses the official position on many matters. And so the ambassador, for example, the British ambassador, needs to keep in touch with the British government so that he knows the strategy and the thinking of the government that he's representing in another country. And isn't it true, dear friends, that as ambassadors of heaven, we need to keep in touch with headquarters. We need to keep in touch with the Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so as we pray, as we read God's word, we're keeping in touch with heaven, that we might have strength for each day. What a great calling we have. Ah, there's the miracle. Have you experienced that? The day you met Jesus, your life was changed. And the miracle took place. And you're born again of the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? But with the miracle today, there comes the mandate. We are ambassadors for heaven. May the Lord help us to serve Him well. You know, the ambassador can be called back home at any time to give an account of how he's representing his country. You know, dear friends, there'll be a day when we'll be called home. And when we are called home to glory, the Bible tells us here in 2 Corinthians 5 that we will give an account. May the Lord help us to be faithful ambassadors as we live for the Lord in these days. And then we find, thirdly, the message that we have been given. You know, there's the miracle experience, the mandate delivered, and the message that we proclaim. Here, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, we are ambassadors. Every ambassador has a message. We've got a message from heaven today. It's the message of reconciliation. That man, sinful man, can be reconciled to God. And here, Paul, he said to the church at Corinth, he said in verse 19, entrusted to us is the message of reconciliation. What a great message we can bring to the nations, bring to Scotland, bring to Northern Ireland, bring to the world. Sinful man can be reconciled to a holy God. And this is a great message because Christ died for the world. The ransom was paid, and today we have a message to bring to the nations. May the Lord help us to be faithful, to live it out as ambassadors, to share this message, that we might see others brought to a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to say every day, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, isn't it? Where would we be but for the grace of God? The Lord has done great things for us. He has changed us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. The miracle, the mandate. May the Lord help us to stand in the gap, to be those ambassadors. You know, before war breaks out, the ambassadors are always brought back home, aren't they? And you know, before this world is finally judged and God pours out His wrath, the Lord's going to take His ambassadors home. And that's going to be a great day when the Lord takes us home to glory. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a hope we have, friends. We're living in a hopeless world. But our hope is in Christ this afternoon. And we bring a message that can change the lives of people. May God bless you here. May the Lord encourage you and help you. And may we be faithful in all that we seek to do for the Lord. Thank you so much indeed.
Just have a word of prayer just as we think about these things. We also say that we're having some soup afterwards. And we'll just thank God for that. Heavenly Father, just thank you for that message that it's given us. The excitement, the encouragement, the enthusiasm that those in another part of this world have for you. We thank you the testimony of Cecilia.